Al Jolson, Richard Widmark, David Rose, and Alan Reed in Nightmare, Chapter 2. On behalf of the United Jewish Appeal, the American Broadcasting Company presents Nightmare, Chapter 2.
This is Al Jolson. Just about a year ago, I stepped in front of this microphone. Same mic. Same man in the director's booth. Same man conducting the same officer. In my hand, I had a script. Same writer as now. The story was called Operation Nightmare. This is Chapter 2. Same nightmare. Why the same nightmare? Because a year has passed since I told you the wanderings, the despairs, the sufferings and the hopes of my people in Europe. Well, they are still wandering, still despairing, still suffering, still hoping, and still most of them in Europe. It is for them that the United Jewish Appeal has been conducting the greatest campaign in the history of this country, a campaign to wake them from a nightmare. Listen. Ever wake up in the middle of the night, breathing in hard sobs, fingernails biting into your palms, scared? Scared by a dream? This dream, maybe?
I dreamt I had to escape from what I didn't know, where I could run to I didn't know. But I had to get away from there, wherever I was, and that I didn't know either. All I knew was I had to get away. So I ran. I didn't move an inch. It came closer. And then I woke up.
Nightmare. Or this kind.
I was dreaming I didn't have my daddy. Everybody told me in my dream I didn't have any daddy. And I told them I did have a daddy. They kept on telling me no. I went to look for him in my dream, but I couldn't find him. I looked, but I couldn't find him. I dreamed I started to cry, and when I woke up, I was crying.
Nightmare.
But when I woke up, my daddy was there.
Just a dream. But there is a nightmare alive in the world from which men and women and kids will not awake to rub their eyes and say, just a dream. There is nightmare in which a million people and more live wide awake.
Mr. Jolson.
Oh, yes. Oh, my old friend, Mr. Statistics. You here again, too, huh?
The numbers are a little different this year. I thought you'd be interested.
I am. Let's have the numbers.
Last year, there were 250,000 Jews in the displaced person camps of Europe. With the help of the United Jewish Appeal, 25,000 came to America, 30,000 went to Palestine, and 10,000 more found refuge in other places free from bitter memories. This should leave 185,000 Jews this year. But there are still 250,000 in Germany, Austria, Italy, and Cyprus. You see, they keep coming into the DP camps from all over Eastern Europe.
Nightmare. With numbers. And a name. Short, ugly name. DP. And the numbers change every day. Let me show you. You are somewhere in Europe now. That down there is a DP camp. We're going right into the main office, into the office of the camp director. Come on, let's follow this man.
Director.
Yes?
Oh, hello, Paul.
Hello, director. Any news yet about the new quota, the new priorities?
Resettlement in America, you mean? No, no news.
Same old story, huh?
Mm-hmm. Nothing for parents with children.
Well, it isn't as if I was parents. There's only me. I mean, all Shoshana has is me, her father. Her mother was...
I know, Paul. I know. It's the way it is.
She has no one to play with anymore.
Hmm?
Frida went away. You know, the little orphan who lived in our barracks?
Yeah.
She went to the United States with the last batch of children.
Oh, Paul, she was an orphan. They were all orphans.
Orphans can go?
Mm-hmm. We're sending off another batch next week. They have the priority, you see.
Oh. Well, how many are going?
50, 55. That'll be the last group for a while. Our quota is 60.
60 orphans. Well, when is the next quota for parents with children?
When? Who knows?
Shoshana. Shoshana, baby?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you like to get away from here?
Uh-huh.
Very much. Shoshana, put the doll away and listen to me. Put Erica away for a moment.
Erica wants to go away with me.
You want to get away?
Uh-huh. Erica, too.
Very much. More than anything?
Oh, yes.
So much you'd want to go all alone?
Oh, no. I'll have Erica with me.
All right, baby. You go outside and play. Take Erica outside and play with her. All right?
Hmm?
You take Erica outside for a while and play. She needs the sunshine.
All right.
Wait, Shoshana. Baby.
Hmm?
Give Daddy a hug.
All right. There. Now you hug Erica.
Yes, all right.
Now we'll go play.
Be a good girl. Always be a good girl. Goodbye, Shoshana. Goodbye.
I'll spare you the details. But Shoshana went with the next quarter. With the other orphans.
You dream, you don't have your daddy. You look for him in your dream and you don't find him. But when you wake up, he is there. Last month, in a DP camp, a man hanged himself because that was the only way he thought his motherless girl could get out of Europe. Nightmare. And yet, Shoshana did get away from Europe. That bad dream will never harm her again.
By the way...
Oh, yes, Brother Statistics.
For the 180,000 children who are still in Europe, JDC, the Joint Distribution Committee, has set up scores of homes, schools, and training programs.
That's good.
And of the 10% of the Jewish children Hitler left alive, 5,000 have been sent to America and 10,000 to Palestine.
Still better. But there are still 180,000 children in Europe. Let's take a look at some of them. To be specific, two sisters... First, the elder. On the medical chart in the children's home in which he has been living since liberation. There's a word for your book. Liberation. It says she's 14. Her name is...
Sarah.
Yes, doctor?
I want you to pay attention very carefully to what I say now. All right, Sarah?
Yes, doctor.
Now, I've just looked you over very carefully and... Look, darling, I don't tell this. I don't tell things like this to little girls of 14, but you're a grown-up girl. You're all the mother your sister
Something
has.
Something's wrong with Dora.
No, Sarah. With you.
Something is wrong with me?
Yes. You have something in your lungs.
Oh.
Do you know what that means, Sarah?
You're telling me I must stay here.
That is right, Sarah.
Until I get better, and then I can go?
When you get better, yes.
All right, I'll wait.
That's not all, Sarah. I just examined Dora, your little sister. She's all right, bless her. She's perfectly healthy.
I take good care of her all the time.
I know, dear, and she's in fine health, so she can go. She can go any time with the very next group if she wants. Now, Sarah, this is what I'm driving at.
I know, I know. You want to send Dora away from me.
No, Sarah, we can't send her away. Where a child has a living relative older than she, the other must decide. You're Dora's sister, and father and mother and family. You must decide. You must tell us, yes or no.
Yes or no.
Whatever you say, we must do. Whether Dora's to stay until you're well, and it'll take a long, long time, or whether she's to go without you.
What does Dora want to do?
No. You decide.
Dora's all I have. I'm all she has. All we have is each other.
Yes or no, Sarah. Whatever you say.
Doctor?
Yes?
Can I ask one question?
Certainly.
Doctor, what would you do?
What would you do? The children. Some of them cling desperately to a shawl their mother tied on them before they went to the furnace. Others will not be parted day or night from a wreck of a doll that Daddy gave them. Others creep timidly to strangers and stand close to them, just to be near a grown-up, to hope for a hug or a hand gently mussing their hair. Something they've not had for so long. And this one, this 14-year-old girl who is nothing but a sister, must decide to send her away. Away, sure, to a better life, to health and home and happiness. But when will she see her again? I leave it to you to decide how long it'll take a child in a DP camp to recover from something in the lungs. TB. Sure, you toss and turn in your sleep because someone has assigned you a decision to make, and you don't know what to decide, yes or no. Nightmare.
Mr. Jolson.
Yes, Mr. Statistics.
It's not that way for everybody in Europe. Many do get away. You know that.
Yes. I also know what it's like when they get there. Another nightmare. Like this.
You come in through the old gate that was ancient when Caesar's legions scribbled their Roman names on it. Later to leave with the golden candelabra from the temple they looted. There is no sound, save that of your own steps and the wind. You pass along a street, a cobblestone street, and you are alone. No soul stirs. On either side, the houses are untenanted, deserted. Those who lived side by side before the trouble had fled, each fearing the other. And on the stones of the street, the scattered debris of terror. You look down. At your feet is a shoe, a child's shoe. There in the gutter is the torn page of a prayer book. The wind sends it scurrying down the street. But the crushed, wide-brimmed black felt hat of an Orthodox patriarch is too heavy for the wind to move. Doors are open, swinging idly. You can look into the houses. Nobody home. Nobody. Now you pass the old stones of the wall, worn smooth by centuries of heads leaning against them in sorrowing, remembering prayer. There is nobody at the wall. You walk along the Via della Rosa, across Manger Square. Nobody anywhere. Then... a convoy of trucks, armored cars, Bren gun carriers. It passes. And it is silent again in this city you have always dreamed about. Is this a dream? No. It is all Jerusalem.
It is a nightmare. A nightmare named war.
Just the same.
Yes?
Just the same, settlements spring up in the desert. Irrigation makes the Negev blossom. The war goes on against nature, and there are victories. 20 new villages and settlements established last year.
That's good.
And the people keep coming.
That I know. They come in boats. Listen to the name they give their boats. Kedma, meaning eastwards. Exodus 1947, meaning that there are still pharaohs and imperial powers loose in the world. Geula, meaning redemption. And Al-Tafichidu, it means they cannot frighten us. The same whistle can mean two different things. The fulfillment of a dream for those who arrive, and the return to the nightmare for those who are turned back. Listen. That is a ship coming in. Unfortunately, it is an illegal ship, and she's been stopped. Come, let's go aboard.
Captain, your papers, please.
We are out of Spezia, Italy.
You have port clearance, I presume.
You know I couldn't have left without it.
Quite so. But you do not have entry clearance for these passengers, I presume.
You presume correctly.
Then you understand my position and my orders.
I know them. You'll forgive me if I fail to understand them.
Let us avoid difficulties, Captain. Will you please instruct your passengers to disembark quietly? My men will escort them to the other ship.
I'm sorry. I'll give no such instructions to these people. They've hung on to life only for this moment, to land in Palestine. I'll not tell them they can't stay, not me.
I can well understand that. But somebody may be hurt.
It's on your head and your conscience.
You're making things difficult, Captain.
Ah.
That's your last word. Very well, then. My men will remove your people.
Again, I spare you the details. The closer these illegals get to Palestine is the splintered boards of the dock between their illegal ship and the departing ship. Come, let's get aboard that ship just before it pulls out, huh? There is no way to reproduce the sound of silence. There is no way to describe the indescribable agony of hope deferred. There is no way to put words to the look in a thousand eyes that have seen the promised land rise out of the distance, only to have it fade back away. There is no sound, no word, no way to indicate here what it means to go back the way you came, to another camp named Cyprus. Yes, there is something. There is, just before you leave the ship, a whisper.
We will come back. They cannot keep us out.
And another dream has turned into the same nightmare. One more thing. As the boat from Cyprus pulls away, you notice its name. And the name on another deportee ship still docked. The former is christened Empire Comfort. The latter, Empire Shelter. Shelter. Comfort. How cynical can you get?
Mr. Jolson.
Yeah?
Let's be fair. Of the illegals deported from Palestine, 11,600 were returned as legal immigrants last year.
And how many more wait on Cyprus?
Well,
I'll tell you. Enough to populate a city the size of Hot Springs, Danbury, Pocatello, North Adams, Hannibal, Sedalia, Reno, Santa Fe. Had enough? 20-odd thousand on that island.
I'm glad you brought that up. Imagine how much it costs to feed and house and service those communities. Then you'll realize why we are trying to raise so much money.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Because the boat ride from Palestine to Cyprus is free.
Yes.
But His Majesty's government charges for the ride back, and very simply, the people don't have the fare. And it'll cost to bring those people from Cyprus to Palestine and those others from Europe...
24 million plus.
And to bring the sick back to health...
6 million plus.
And for housing in the often promised land...
25 million plus.
And to keep body and soul alive in the DP camps... to keep them working and learning and living...
30 million plus.
And for helping to adjust the refugees in the United States...
14 million plus.
And with all the other needs in Europe and Palestine, a total of...
250 million.
brother.
It sounds like an impossible dream, doesn't it? $250 million is not as we would say, hey. Is it possible to raise it? Well, lots of other impossible things have been done, like this. You're in a settlement in Galilee. Maybe you've heard that name before, but the name of the settlement perhaps is unfamiliar. It is Yehiam. Yehiam is being besieged, cut off in all directions by what military dispatchers call superior forces, specifically heavy mortars. Machine guns. And some artillery. Those in Yehiam are not unarmed. They have some rifles. A couple of pistols. And a few grenades, homemade. How far can you throw a grenade?
Not far enough. Somebody's got to go out there and get those mortars. Any volunteers?
Of the beleaguered defenders, every able-bodied man steps forward. The leader chooses from among them three.
You, and you, and you. The rest of you stay at your post for a while. All right, it's one of you three. I can't order you to go, but choose among yourselves quickly.
The three young men look at each other. On the ground before them is a handful of grenades. Beyond the wall of Yehiam, mortars. One speaks.
Let's be logical. You are married. You're expecting a child, right?
Right, but...
Shh. And you?
I have no wife, you know that.
But you keep talking about your girl. Someday she'll come. Someday she'll get off Cyprus. Any day now, right?
Maybe.
That maybe is the difference. For me, there isn't any maybe. I have nobody. I'm not waiting for anybody. The logic is clear. All right, give me some rifle cover.
The others watch him fall. There is a no-man's land of rocks and scattered small trees, behind which he hides every so often. Then he ducks and runs. Finally, he reaches the range of a strong young throwing arm. They see his arm go up. They see a mortar disappear. And then... they see him fall. And again, the leader has to say...
Mission accomplished. Somebody's got to go out there and get those other mortars. Any volunteers?
The next volunteer and the next crawl across the same rocky stretch outside the wall of Yehiam. But it is no longer no man's land. It is theirs. Lacking mortars and machine guns, they bought it with all they had to give. Their grenades and their blood. You see, nothing is impossible. Before we close at chapter 2, one more stop on the far side of the wide ocean. You are in Austria. That down there, silver in the sunlight, is the River Danube. Just over that rise, by the river there, is a hill. And over that hill, look, it's hollowed out. The land is gouged. It is a quarry. It has a name.
Matthausen.
What was that?
Matthausen is its name. Or used to be. It was a concentration camp.
I see. Were you there?
I was there. My brother, too.
Where's he?
Down there. You see, when a man got too weak or too tired or sick, they'd make him climb up to the top of the hill, the top of the quarry pit. Tied to his back a stone he'd cut with his own hands. And then they'd kick him over. They'd gotten out of him all the work that they could. There was water down there.
There still is.
My brother was one of those who got tired. So I come here often.
When did you get out?
May 1945.
Do you live near here?
Right down that road from Matthausen, about 15 minutes walk down that road.
House? Farm?
The DP camp, Aston it's called. DP Settlement 100.
You live there, huh?
Yes.
Down that road there?
Yeah, 15 minutes walk.
Just a moment, let me get this straight.
You were in this quarry camp from when?
1942.
1942 to 1945. That's 3 years. You've been in Aston ever since?
Yes.
And this is 1948. In 6 years, you've traveled exactly 15 minutes down that road, huh?
That's right. Right down that road there.
Where does that road lead to?
For me?
Yes.
Palestine.
15 minutes walk in 6 years. Nothing. I was just thinking, how long can you wait?
I'm asking, how long do I have to wait?
You run and you run, and you never move from that spot. I ask you, how long can you wait? I ask you, how long can you hope? I ask you, how long can you suffer? How long can you dream of a new land and wake up in your nightmare of the same old one? How long? You can answer that one. Myself? Well, I only ask one thing. One thing. I ask only that I do not have to come back here next year with Nightmare Chapter 3.
And now, an important message concerning the United Jewish Appeal. We present Mr. George Jessel.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jolson has put the question squarely before us. Will there be a Nightmare Chapter 3 next year? It is that question that must be answered through the great humanitarian programs of the $250 million United Jewish Appeal. Through this campaign, we are striving to end the nightmare of human misery and homelessness. You and I know that this answer cannot be given in mere words. Oh, no. No, the crisis in Europe and Palestine cannot be met by words of sympathy or compassion. It can only be met through deeds. Deeds of heartfelt generosity. Deeds of heroic effort and service that will free 1,500,000 innocent men and women and children in Europe from the chains of want and homelessness. Deeds that will back up the 700,000 Jews in Palestine in their desperate struggle to achieve freedom and peace. These that will give as many of the refugees as can come into the United States the means to begin a new life. The success of the National United Jewish Appeal campaign will in large measure determine the fate of survivors of oppression who have not yet tasted the fruits of freedom. It is within our power to shape the future of those who are spending their third year in the squalor and desolation of the displaced persons camp in Europe. It is within our power to mold the destiny of heroic Jews of Palestine who are striving to build a homeland not only for themselves, but for the many to seek to come there from the ruins of Europe. 1948 has been called the year of destiny. It is our opportunity to decide whether their hopes for a new life shall be realized or whether these hopes shall be transformed into another cruel nightmare of darkness and disappointment.
The United Jewish Appeal is deeply grateful to the American Broadcasting Company and to all the artists who made this program possible. Nightmare Chapter 2 was written by Alan E. Sloan. The music was conducted by David Rose. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Copies of tonight's drama may be obtained free of charge by writing to National Headquarters, United Jewish Appeal, 165 West 46th Street, New York, 19. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.